Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 278 for September 12th, 2010. I'm on location this week at the Scotch Whiskey Experience in Edinburgh, Scotland. I'm sitting at the bar right now. More on that in a few minutes. I'll also have the calendar of events, the emails of the week, the What I'm Tasting This Week department, and this week's Whiskey Cast trivia contest question. First, though, let's look at the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. A quick update on Shackleton's whiskey and the earthquake that hit near Christchurch, New Zealand last weekend. The whiskey is being stored at the Canterbury Museum in Christchurch, and Lizzie Meek of the Antarctic Heritage Trust emailed me with good news the other day. The museum building held up well during the earthquake. The whiskey bottles are being held in fabric slings that absorbed the vibrations, and there appears to be no damage to the 10 surviving bottles of Shackleton's whiskey. Time now for some rumor control. The internet lets rumors spread around the world at the speed of light, but it's harder to get the truth about those rumors out there. This week's rumors had Brooklady being sold. That's a frequent rumor. But once again, Brooklady Managing Director Mark Rainier is denying that the distillery is for sale. The second rumor also involved Brooklady to an extent. It had Ardbeg being sold by LVMH, and one of the rumored buyers was a group of Brooklady investors. Once again, not true. Rainier says he's not buying Ardbeg either, and David Blackmore of Moët Hennessy USA shot down the Ardbeg sale rumors on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page. Last summer, there wasn't enough Knob Creek bourbon to go around, as Jim Beam ran short of 9-year-old Knob Creek in its warehouses. That drought did end last fall, and now there's not only enough to go around, but enough that Beam can expand the Knob Creek range. Knob Creek is already a small batch bourbon, but the new Knob Creek will be as small a batch as you can get, a single barrel bottling. The new Knob Creek single barrel reserve will be available starting in January. I've been promised a sample. I'll let you know what it tastes like as soon as I can. Speaking of bourbons, I mentioned the bottling of Old Forester's annual birthday bourbon a few weeks ago. It is hitting stores now. The birthday bourbon is released each September to honor Brown Foreman founder George Garvin Brown, who first bottled Old Forester in 1870. This year's batch was distilled on October 24, 1997, and was bottled at 47.5% ABV, or 95 proof. I received a sample this week. I'll have tasting notes for it in a few minutes. Whiskey Magazine announced its Scotland Icons of Whiskey Award winners on Thursday, just before Whiskey Live Glasgow. William Grant & Sons was named Distiller of the Year, while Gordon & McPhail was named Brand Innovator of the Year. Gordon & McPhail also won Single Outlet Retailer of the Year, while Royal Mile Whiskies here in Edinburgh won Multiple Outlet Retailer of the Year, and Loch Fyne Whiskies won Online Retailer of the Year. Speyside Cooperage won Visitor Attraction of the Year, and White & Mackay's Richard Patterson was named Ambassador of the Year. Stephen Marshall of Dewar's won Young Ambassador of the Year for those under 35. The Icons of Whiskey Regional Awards for the U.S. and the rest of the world will be announced later this year. The winners go on to the World Icons of Whiskey Awards to be announced at Whiskey Live London next March. The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society has released a new web-based malt matching application. The Spirit Sellers app uses technology developed for online dating services to help society members pick whiskies, and it's tied into the society's stock list so members can order whiskies straight from the app. It's only available to UK members for now, but will be rolled out in other countries eventually. Compass Box is about to celebrate its 10th anniversary and will be marking the occasion with a special release of Flaming Heart. The vatted malt has whiskies from Kalila, Kleinleash, and Dalhousie and will be packaged in a special display case. It'll be available in all Compass Box markets in limited quantities with U.S. arrival in early November. I'll have more on this one in a couple of weeks when I talk with John Klaser at Whiskey Live Paris. And that's the news, brought to you by Glenmorangie, handcrafted by the 16 Men of Tain since 1843. Time now for the Whiskey Cast trivia question, sponsored by ForScotchLovers.com. First off, let's have the answer to last week's question. Name the three living master distillers with bourbons named after them. Of course, the answer is Jimmy Russell of Wild Turkey, Russell's Reserve, Elmer T. Lee of Buffalo Trace with the Elmer T. Lee Bourbon, and Parker Beam of Heaven Hill with the Parker's Heritage Collection Series. A lot of folks named Booker knowing their entries, but sadly we lost Booker several years ago. Did get a lot of correct answers, though. The winner selected at random from the correct answers is Ray Marsh. He wins a $50 gift certificate from ForScotchLovers.com. Congratulations, Ray. Now, here's this week's question. I'm thinking of a distillery in Speyside. It's in a town with two distilleries, and the other one has the town's name. The name of this distillery also rhymes with the name of a whiskey-producing region of Scotland. Name the distillery. Send your answer to trivia at whiskeycast.com by midnight New York time, Friday, September 17th, and I'll announce the winner on the next episode of WhiskeyCast. Now, even though Ray won the gift certificate this week, everyone's a winner. Just use the promotion code WhiskeyCast when you place your first order at forscotchlovers.com, and you'll get free FedEx ground shipping. Now, let's look at the emails of the week, brought to you by Highland Park. Steve Urey of Los Angeles caught me on an error in last week's episode. Here's his response. Hey, Mark, hope you're well. I just had a minor correction for you on this week's episode of WhiskeyCast. In responding to the reader asking about bourbon ages, you stated that all bourbon must be at least 2 years old by U.S. law. Actually, that's the standard for straight bourbon. There is no age requirement for bourbon that is not denoted as straight on the label. While nearly all of the bourbon being produced by the major Kentucky distilleries is straight bourbon, we are seeing micro-distillery bourbons that are younger than 2 years and thus lack the straight label. Of course, Steve is correct. As he suggests, there aren't many bourbons that don't carry the straight bourbon label, but it is something to watch for. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we heard from Jess Graber of Stranahan's Colorado Whiskey. Michael Caldwell of Salisbury, Maryland, posted a link on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page to a Denver TV station's story about the bottle-filling parties that Stranahan's holds every month or so. I didn't know this, but you can sign up on a waiting list at the Stranahan's website, and people are chosen at random from the list to help fill and cap bottles. Each volunteer gets a bottle of Stranahan's for their time. There are about 900 people on the list so far. Now, if you're on the U.S. East Coast, Scott Harris at Virginia's Catoctin Creek Distillery does the same thing. He's looking for about 15 people for a bottling party on September 25th. No free whiskey, but they do supply lunch. And finally, got an email from Jim Cronin. Mark, I know, or at least hope, you have heard it at least 100 times already, but I just wanted to put my 2 cents in on the Android app thing. Now that I have one, I would love for your people to build an Android version of your great app. Since owning the phone, I've already twice been in my local liquor store and wanted to know your take on a label. Can't wait to see it on Android. Love the show. Jim. Well, Jim, thanks for the email. The Android app is on hold again. I had hoped to have an announcement by now, but a sponsorship deal for the Android version of the app fell through. You see, my people insist on being paid for their work, and they won't take whiskey in exchange. Actually, they might, but you know how it goes. So until I find a sponsor to cover the cost so we can make it available for free to download, the Android version will remain on hold. Now, if you happen to have a business that would be interested in sponsoring the Android app, get in touch with me. You can also send questions or feedback to. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. And the emails of the week are brought to you by Highland Park. Just click the banner at the WhiskeyCast website to join Highland Park's inner circle. Now let's look at the calendar of events brought to you, as always, by Laphroaig. The Kentucky Bourbon Festival is this week with events in and around Bardstown, Kentucky. Whiskey Live Moscow is September 17th and 18th. Richard Patterson will lead a blending masterclass at Milroy's of Soho in London on September 30th. The annual Laphroaig Live webcast is September 23rd, live from Jerez, Spain. Canada's Companions of the Quake will hold their 10th anniversary dinner with special guest Jim McEwen on September 25th in Orilla, Ontario. Whiskey Live Paris is September 25th and 26th. Listen for special coverage from Paris that weekend. And the Whiskey by the Sea Festival in Vlissingen, Netherlands is that same weekend. And the Potstill Festival in the Dutch town of Amersfoort is the weekend of October 1st through the 3rd. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Just click the Laphroaig banner at the WhiskeyCast website to become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay. Now, there's a lot of climbing involved in Edinburgh because if you climb up the top of the Royal Mile, that's where you'll find the Scotch Whiskey Experience. I'm sitting at the bar here at the Experience. Now I'm joined by Julie Hunter of the museum staff. First of all, tell me about the history of this place.
Well, we opened 22 years ago in order to provide an experience for visitors that come to Edinburgh about Scotch whisky. At that time, there weren't quite so many distilleries that you were able to go and visit. And of course, now there's well in excess of 40 that have facilities. But it's still tricky for people that come on a city break to Edinburgh to find the time to get out to some of the distilleries because they do take a while to arrive to. So we provide an experience that tells them all about all the different aspects of Scotch. So blending, single malts, production, nosing and tasting, and the sort of jewel in the crown, the largest collection of whiskey in the world.
And that's the new jewel of the collection, really. It arrived here last year from Sao Paulo, Brazil, the Clive Vidis collection.
That's right. We were fortunate enough to be able to go under a major refurbishment program last year. And having been here for 21 years at that point and having changed things bit by bit as years went by, we decided it was time for a whole-scale alteration. So all of the parts of the visitor attraction were totally refurbished. And we were able to install at the end of the attraction the sort of pièce de résistance, which is this beautiful collection, which was owned by Clive Vidis and then purchased by Diageo, which is the largest in the world in the Guinness Book of Records. So that's where people enjoy their whiskey at the end of the tour.
And you can hear people enjoying their whiskeys at the end here. Tell me about the entire changeover, because people who have been here will remember the barrel ride that teaches you about the distilling process, but you went through and updated that completely too, right?
That's right. What we really wanted to do was turn the experience from being a bit of a passive experience to one that was very active and experiential. That was what we wanted to do through all the different elements of what we have here. People loved our old barrel ride, but it was pretty staid. It was a little bit old-fashioned. You went past sort of static sets or tableau, which showed you the history of Scotch whisky. And we decided that actually the perfect thing to demonstrate with our new barrel ride would be the distillation process and the manufacture of single malt in a really dynamic way. And so people now can actually take the journey that Scotch whisky takes itself. So it's quite a different experience to going around a distillery, because when you take our barrel ride, you actually become the whisky and take the journey through the parts of the distilling equipment and see what it's like and how Scotch whisky is made. Lots of multimedia, lots of amazing effects, and just very lighthearted and very fun, a lovely introduction. After that, you then meet one of our very experienced tour guides who has a great knowledge in Scotch whisky, and they will lead you through the differences in all the different regional single malts and the complexities and the art into making blended Scotch whisky as well, before we then move on to our tasting.
And the tastings are up here in the bar area. And explain how those work, because you've got a couple of different tour prices here that have different levels of drams involved, right?
That's right. Well, one of the things we wanted to do with our new tour was have a lot more choice for people. Lots of visitors that come to us because they have a very light passing interest in Scotch whisky. They're in Scotland. They want to tick the whisky box, of course. You have to do it. But they're not enthusiasts. They don't want all the details. They just want to maybe find a whisky that they like, which they haven't before. But we wanted to also have something that was a bit more interesting for people with more interest in whisky, that already maybe liked a couple of brands but didn't know much more than that. And for that, we have our gold tour, which allows you at the end of the tour to have a lovely tasting tray which has been made from staves of the old whisky barrels. And it gives you a comparative tasting of a lowland, a highland, a Speyside and an Islay. And we also have a different cask finish version of that as well. So for people that want to discover whisky a little bit more widely, we have that. And then for people that are experts already, they don't need us to tell them anything, or people that are connoisseurs or collectors, at the end of the day, right at the end, so we don't have any time pressure of visitors coming through after you, we have our Platinum Tour. And that, we do a tutored comparative tasting with one of our experts. And then basically as long as you want in the beautiful Diageo Clive Vidis collection to sample our own exclusive 21-year-old blended whisky, which you can only get here, and really dig in deeper about the enthralling bottles and the amazing collection, and see as much as you want of that.
And you mentioned the whiskey that you can only get here. You also have a very interesting store downstairs too, right?
Yeah, we're really lucky because we represent all of the different Scotch whisky distillers companies, or almost all of them. We have an amazing range of Scotch whiskies, both in the store and then also in our two bars. We have one bar which is exclusive access for people that do the tour, and another bar adjoined to Amber Restaurant, which anybody can just come in, go down and taste a dram of whisky without doing any of the tour of the centre. So our tour and our bar, in terms of different derivations, have any any one time between about 260 and 330 different whiskies.
And the real purpose here is education.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we were absolutely established by the industry in order to give people an understanding and an education about Scotch whisky. So we've got some fundamental and principles which are behind us. One is authenticity, because Scotch whisky, a very, very authentic and traditional drink. One is people. The people that come here are what we're all about. And we hope that the experience that people have with the experts and the guides they meet here is important too. Our third one is passion, because everyone here is absolutely passionate about Scotch whisky. Even if they've only worked here for a week, they've been indoctrinated and they love it. Then we have learning. Obviously, learning and education, really, really important. And finally, fun, because we want to keep things lighthearted. We want people to enjoy it. We don't want it to be too serious an experience for people that do just want the lighthearted version of it.
But on the education side, you also offer some industry education as well, too, right?
That's right. We have an interesting one-day Scotch whisky training school that we offer usually once a month. And we also do bespoke versions of that for particular trade bodies. We go around Scotland and we run it in different regions as well. We've often run it actually in distilleries themselves, so worked in partnership with our distillers on that. And that's something that people can come along and book onto. Initially, we set it up as a trade thing. So for people that were selling and serving Scotch whisky, they'd get a complete all-round understanding of Scotch whisky. So it works alongside the education programs that some of the brands have, where they tell you fabulous information about their brands, but this tells you about absolutely everything, every element of Scotch whisky across the brand portfolio. And more, we're delighted to see that we've got enthusiasts coming from all over the world to visit distilleries around about Scotland and to either start or finish top or tail their visit with that day's Scotch whisky course. So every month we have maybe at least four or five people from North America and from Europe, it has been mostly, who've decided to do that because they're enthusiasts or because they want to maybe get into the industry.
How many people come through here on a yearly basis?
Well, we have just over 250,000 people coming through who are our customers. But we know, because we've got a shop front and a store right on the Royal Mile, that we have a lot higher footfall from that, for people that come in, wander around, see all the brands in the shop and then wander off again. But we don't measure the footfall, because we tried to do that one day and it just was going too high.
I have to ask, since you run the store here and it's supported by the industry, do you ever have any issues with the local retailers about competing with them?
No, because unfortunately for us, we don't get advantageous pricing on anything. So although our shareholders are all the distillers' companies, the way they treat us in terms of our retail is very much as they would treat any other independent retailer. So it's set up that way, because obviously you're quite right. If we were heavily subsidised, then there might be issues. So we're not, which is a wee bit frustrating sometimes.
So what's the next step? What's the next thing you want to improve here?
Oh gosh, well, we have lots of plans as always. So we just spent £3 million on the tour and we're already thinking of new things. We are, at the moment, we've done some things to upgrade our restaurant, Amber Restaurant, which is open every day during the day and on some evenings during the night as well for more fine dining. So we've been upgrading that and developing more products of whiskey and food matching. In terms of big investment, probably in about 12 months' time, so over the winter season is a good time for us to do any work. We're looking at entirely refurbishing our shop and making it a real destination store and very experiential in itself. And I've been doing some surveying and some chatting with customers in the shop this week to see what they think, and they all love it, so I'm beginning to wonder why we're doing this. But although we have an amazing range, we've got great experts there, and great facings of Scotch whisky, we want it to become something, and we don't know what yet, so actually if anyone has any ideas, they're very welcome to send them to us. Something where people say, you've got to go to that store, because it has, something experiential, magical, amazing, that really makes you want to go to that one shop aside from anything else. So that's on our plan. And thereafter, I don't know, we're looking at possibly developing a little bit more with the visitors that come here and further communications with them afterwards. Many of them come from overseas, so it's tricky to keep up with them because they're not coming back to Edinburgh, they're not visiting our site again. But we would very much like to find a means of having an ongoing communication with them, especially people. Just when we were going around on tour together just now, I overheard a lady going, oh, I really don't like Scotch whisky, I really don't like it. But this one here that I tasted, this Speyside one's lovely. So that happens so much here, that we get people that are don't know much about Scotch whisky or just don't like Scotch whisky, and that because they've just had that little bit of education and they've chosen one they think they might like, and they do, then there's a real opportunity to keep that conversation going, and we'd like to find a means of doing that. But with 250,000 visitors, that's a bit too big a mountain at the moment.
And tell me about the building itself, because you're in a very historic location here.
Yeah, we're in Castle Hill, which is the top section of the Royal Mile in Edinburgh, right next to Edinburgh Castle. And so it leads straight up to the oldest part of the city, parts of the castle dating back to the 12, 1300s. Our building here is about 150 years old. It's a Victorian building, and it was originally built as a school, the Castle Hill School. And you can still see the carving on the front of the building that, in fact, says Castle Hill School if you crane your neck up and look. And the Statue of Wisdom carved into the front of the building too, which is lovely. It gives us opportunities, and it gives us some problems as well, because it's a listed historical building, which means that we can't do much to the signage in the front of the building to tell people that this is what we have inside. So it's one of these places that once people come in, it seems to expand like some kind of amazing magical rabbit warren. They say, we couldn't imagine from outside that there was all this inside. So that's one of the downsides. But because it was built as a school, one of the quirky things to education as it was in Victorian times, there's a girls' entrance and a boys' entrance. And if you go around the back of the building onto Johnson Terrace, you can see the old gates with girls and boys written above them. They had separate entrances to the building, separate parts of the back playground area, and separate staircases within the building. Now, that's perfect for a visitor attraction and a tour, because when visitors go in, they use one staircase, and when they finish the experience and they're leaving, they use the other. So it routes people around our experience perfectly, which is great. For new members of staff that are trying to work out why they're standing on one landing and can't get to the other, it's a bit more complex. But a quirky thing of the educational architecture of the building that's really worked for us.
But it also means you really can't expand the facility much. You can't go higher and you can't go out back, right?
No, that's true. I mean, obviously, because we're in a sort of part of town which is heavily built up and very historical, but we do still have one extra level, which we call our sub-basement, which doesn't make it sound very exciting, but because of the geography of the very centre of the city, Castle Hill goes up on a hill and means that the front of the building, we have three levels, and at the back, as it drops down, we have five. So our Amber restaurant is below ground at the front, but one floor up at the back, and our sub-basement is the sub-basement from the front, but it's on ground level at the back, and currently that's just used for storage. And also we help out the Edinburgh Military Tattoo performers, and they use that area during August when they're doing their performance on the Esplanade. But that's all it's used for at the moment, so that's another option for development, but we're just trying to decide what it would be best to use it for.
It's another watch this space moment.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you have fun here?
Most definitely. I started here personally as a tour guide when I finished university. And I'd studied languages and I thought it would be good to be able to use them. But I knew nothing about whisky. And that was coming up for 15 years ago. And I'm still here, having moved up through the ranks, very fortunately. And I now look after the marketing. And that is the one thing that everybody that works here absolutely has tremendous fun. It's a real kind of quite a small family type atmosphere. We've got over 50 members of staff. A lot of them are students, are in education, are really getting into Scotch whisky at, you know, a young age of maybe 20, 21, discovering how fabulously interesting and exciting it is. And all of them going out to the Isle of Whisky Festival, going up to the Speyside Whisky Festival, travelling around and discovering more about it whilst they're working for us here. And many of them actually moving on to work in the industry thereafter as well. So a brilliant group of people, all passionate about whisky, and yeah, all having great fun.
What's the website so people can find out more information?
Our website is scotchwhiskyexperience.com.
Back in April, we heard from Alistair Day about the Tweed Ale blend that he put together in honor of his grandfather, who produced the Tweed Ale blend before World War II. And Alistair joins me now at the bar here at the Scotch Whisky Experience with an update. How did it wind up?
Well, since I last spoke to you, I managed to get the Tweed Ale blend blended and bottled, and it was blended and bottled at the end of May, and it's now on sale. Loch Fyne Whiskies have been very good, and they were the first guys to take it on board and stock it, and Royal Mile Whiskies just down the road from here have got it as well, and Gordon MacPhail's have taken it on board as well, so it's getting there, yeah.
And to be in three of the major Scotch whisky stores in Scotland is a pretty good accomplishment.
Yes, it's good, I'm pleased, yeah, definitely.
How did the blend come out?
Again, I'm pleased with it, and I've had some good feedback. I did Whiskey Live Glasgow yesterday, and had some very positive feedback from the people there. So, yeah, pleased.
You going to try it again?
Hopefully, yes. I mean, I'm still in the process of selling the first batch, but if I can get that through, and I'd love to do another one, and yeah, I'd love to do one of maybe another couple of the blends out of the book. It'd be good, yeah.
Now, tell us more about the blend that your grandfather was working on, because I know we heard about it back in April, but for people who haven't heard that episode, tell me about the Tweedale blend.
Okay, well, Tweedale blend was first produced by a company called J&A Davidson. We were based in Coldstream in the Scottish Borders. It was established in 1820, and they were whisky blenders, a licensed grocer's shop, and brewers, which was fairly typical of the time. My great-grandfather left school in 1895, and went to join them as an office boy. And by 1923, he took the business over and became Richard Day. And he produced the blended, various blended whiskies up until the Second World War. The Tweedale blend, the reason I chose the Tweedale blend was we had the original tissue paper left. That's all we had. You know, we had the book with all the blends in it. But in terms of reproducing a whiskey, at least I had something to go on. And that's what I've used for the current label on the bottle. So the whiskey itself, it's 50% grain, 50% malt. There's one single grain in there, eight malts. It is, it's not chill filtered, it's bottled at 46%, because that's how my great-grandfather did it. And it's predominantly lowlands. Again, that was what was accessible to him. But there's also some Speysides in there, a couple of Highlands, and one Islay malt as well. And in those days, it was the whiskey that was available to him, and so the age wasn't quite so important. Well, it was important, but it wasn't the be-all and end-all. So in the blend, there's the youngest is 10-year-old, so I've classed it as a 10-year-old blend. But the majority of the malts are 12 to 14-year-old, and one of the Speysides is 21 years old. So, I think it's a nice balance of flavors. So.
Now, you mentioned that you had some other recipes that your great-grandfather was working on.
Yeah, there's a number of recipes in there, and a couple of them are actually in the museum in Coldstream, a couple of the original bottles from J&A Davidson. There's another blend that actually another company owns at the minute, from the background I've done on it. And there's one in particular that I really like to do because it's just a bit different from some of the things that are out there. But as I say, that's for the future.
And where can people find out more information?
Well, obviously I've got a website, which is www.stonedean.co.uk. That's the company I set up in January 2000 to be able to do this. And all the information's on there, and I do regular updates. There's a bit of a blog on there as well, so yeah, it'd be good if folk have a look at that and let me know what they think.
And they can order it again through Gordon and MacPhail, Royal Mile Whiskies here in Edinburgh, and Loch Fyne Whiskies.
Yep, currently that's right, yep.
Great. Thanks again. Good talking to you again, Alistair.
Thank you much, Mark. Thank you.
Now, of course, Glasgow does not have the Scotch whisky experience, but it has plenty of Scotch whisky history and a bunch of great whisky pubs around Glasgow. I've mentioned some of them before. We've done a couple of episodes from the Bon Accord here in Glasgow. And I'm joined right now by Victor Brierley, who's setting up a new tour company that's going to do essentially a great pub crawl, essentially. Right, right, Victor?
Scotland's best pub crawl is, I think, how we've described it. As you touched on, there's lots of hidden gems in Glasgow and some not-so-hidden gems, and it's our intention to get people to get around them all.
And how are you going to do this? I know you've got a London Transport double-decker bus, right?
Yeah. Well, it came about, we spoke to a coach company, and he had procured a number of the old Routemaster London Transport buses, some of them the original red and other ones painted in saltire blue. And he said, what could we do with these? I said, well, funnily enough, we're looking for a mode of transport to take people around these pubs and some of the nice hotels here as well. So we sort of put two and two together, and it's come up with Glasgow Whisky Tours.
How will this work?
Right, well, it's quite simple. Initially, you'll get people at 7 o'clock, they'll jump on this vintage Routemaster bus, and it'll take the form of a travelogue. We're going to go around some of our favourite pubs, and it'll change every day. The route will always be different. And we have an actress called Helen Quinn, who's going to bring Scotch whisky to life. Form of a play, really. A play and a pub crawl rolled into one.
And this will be every Thursday night from George Square in downtown Glasgow.
That's right, every Thursday from 7 p.m. But also, I think we've had a lot of interest from people who want to do it as corporate days, and specifically for weddings and parties and stag nights and all things like that. So we're going to be very adaptable.
And you're also going to go out to the distilleries too at some point, right?
That's right. We've had a lot of interest to visit places like Auchentoshan and Glengoyne, which are basically on the outskirts of Glasgow. And there's lots of other ones further afield we'll be able to do as well.
Now, there's a lot of history here that a lot of people don't realize. A lot of the whiskey companies have their headquarters here or are based here in Glasgow or Edinburgh. But Glasgow has a great whiskey history, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I think there's lots of places. If you travel from Glasgow to Edinburgh on the train, you pass the Bowmore yards where all the whiskey is distilling, maturing on the outskirts of Glasgow. And it's in the most incongruous place. And there's lots of other places, White Mackayer here. There's lots of the names of the past, specifically the blends that basically started here. So it's very interesting.
And for somebody who's coming to Glasgow for the first time, what pubs would you send them to besides the Bon Accord?
Well, the Bon Accord is fabulous, but I think one of the best whisky pubs in Glasgow is a place called the Ben Nevis. Rich in great drams, of course, but there's always music on there. It's not too big, it's not too small. It's ideal. There's also a place called Ushkava, which obviously you don't really need to say anything more about that. There's a number of ones, and there's a number of new places opening as well that have got fantastic whisky bars. The new casino that's opened, which is called the Corinthian in Glasgow, has a bespoke whisky bar that really has to be seen to be believed. It's absolutely incredible.
And we're sitting here in the lobby at Blythswood Square Hotel, and there's an interesting whisky bar here too.
Yeah, I mean, this is the old RAC Club, Royal Automobile Club, and lots of history and heritage here. But again, fabulous building. One of a number of new hotels that have opened in Glasgow. This week alone, I've been at two hotel openings. One of them, the new Grand Central in Glasgow, has got a fabulous champagne bar and a huge selection of malts as well.
What makes Glasgow so special for somebody who's coming here for the first time?
I think Glasgow is very unique. I can probably say this from a different perspective because I'm actually from Edinburgh, but I've lived here for 20 years now. I just think the Glasgow people make it a bit of a special place. It's got that old industrial heritage. It's quite similar to places like Newcastle and Liverpool, that the people are very earthy and very down-to-earth and very friendly. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're starting Whisky Tours here.
And what's the website where people can get more information?
www.glasgowwhiskytours.com.
And we'll throw a link up to there at the WhiskeyCast website as well. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you very much.
Now, Julie mentioned the Scotch Whisky Experience 21-year-old blend a few minutes ago. So let's start off the What I'm Tasting This Week department with my notes for the blend, which she actually helped create. It's a 21-year-old blend bottled at 47.6% ABV and celebrates the 21st anniversary of the Scotch Whisky Experience. I loved this one. The nose was smoky, it had notes of baked pears and peaches, a hint of heather and grass. The taste was peat and smoke balanced with some heather and grass, very creamy and smooth, just a hint of nuts on it as well. And the finish is smooth, sweet, warming. It's excellent. There's only 498 bottles made of this 21-year-old blend. It sells for £100 at the Scotch Whisky Experience gift shop. If you get a chance to try it, I highly recommend it. I'm scoring it a 93. Now, I mentioned the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon a few minutes ago. It's bottled again at 47.5% ABV, or 95 proof. The nose is dark chocolate, caramel, butterscotch, wood shavings, and sawdust. The taste, citrus, oak, roasted cashews, and just a touch of raspberries. The finish is woody and slightly sweet, a touch of vanilla, and a hint of grilled peaches. It's excellent. Once again, bottled at 47.5%, a little stronger than most bourbons, but very excellent. Very limited quantities of this one. I'm rating the Old Forester 2010 Birthday Bourbon a 92. Now, I've got a chance to try the Irishman Cask Strength 2010 release. I've mentioned this on the show a couple of times in recent weeks. It's bottled at 53% ABV. The nose is light and clean, vanilla, apples, and butterscotch notes. The taste is syrupy and thick with a peppery blast that builds up to a cinnamon peak, then fades to a soft, sweet caramel note with hints of lemon zest on the top of the mouth. The finish is grassy and slightly tart, very smooth overall, and I'm rating the Irishman Cask Strength a 90. Of course, you can find all of my whiskey ratings on the WhiskeyCast website and in the WhiskeyCast iPhone app sponsored by the Glenrothes. Now, coming up next time on WhiskeyCast, I'll be actually at the Middleton Distillery in Cork, Ireland, where Jameson, Paddy's, Powers, and a bunch of other great Irish whiskeys are distilled. You'll hear more from the Middleton Distillery on the next episode of WhiskeyCast. In the meantime, check the WhiskeyCast website. That's where you'll find links to my Twitter feed and the WhiskeyCast Facebook page. The photo gallery, it's been updated with my photos from earlier this year in Islay. You'll also find the WhiskeyCast store, powered by Amazon.com, with some newly updated whiskey books that are coming out. And, of course, a complete archive of past episodes. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2010, and comes to you normally from the charming yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. But today it comes to you from the bar at the Very Wet Scotch Whiskey Experience in beautiful Edinburgh, Scotland. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.